And he's on it.
A.J. Foyt has won his fourth 500-mile race.
It's a drag race. Marco Andretti, Cornish, who's going to win? At the stripe, it's home.
Goodyear makes a move. Little Al wins by just a few tenths of a second.
You just don't know what Indy means.
More Front Wings Centennial Interview Series.
Welcome back to another edition of the More Front Wings Centennial Interview Series. Today we wrap up our three-time winners with the most recent addition to the three-time winners club from Penske Racing, Elio Castroneves. Elio, thanks for joining us again today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Elio, you've been at Indianapolis now 10 years. Of course, you have three wins, your first 2 years in 01 and 02, and then the emotional win in 2009. And you have four poles that have come in 2003, 7, and then 2009 and 10. Let's go back to your rookie year in 2001. You had already had a couple years of experience in kart, so you were used to the high speeds of IndyCar racing. But tell us what it was like that first year when you first came to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and experienced what it was all about.
Oh, it's like, I do remember like it was yesterday. First of all, getting to the place, I didn't know how big it was, you know, and certainly I did have to do the rookie orientation like everybody. And I remember talking to John Rutherford and he's explaining about it, and I'm asking questions to him about the race, in what part of the moment does you actually go fast, and or what kind of strategy did he use when he won the three times. Then I'm talking to Alan, the senior, Bob Anser. So I'm trying to get as much information as I can because I know this is 2001. It's my first year, so I know I gotta find out, you know, and I better at least have some similar story that it might help me during the race. And I'm glad I did that. Certainly the race was very interesting because my car was very good through the long run, not so much on the short run. But it was great. The place, it was amazing to see how many people it was to fit in one place. For me, it was just incredible. So it felt great. Certainly at the beginning, I even mentioned in the cameras, I was like, man, there's a lot of people here. So it was kind of cool. Felt as well like you're going to a show and you're just waiting for the big artist and the big people, the band, whatever your favorite band is going to show up, and you know, you're just waiting for that kind of like anxiety moment. And the only difference is you're part of the show. So it was great, great memory. And obviously crossing the finish line, it was awesome. So climbed the fence there. I felt the fence was really the best fence in the world. And I had a great, great time. It was awesome.
Well, I want to ask you about those fans, Elio, because you came to Indianapolis as a rookie really at I think what we look back at is almost the height of the open wheel split there, right? When, you know, Ganassi had first come the year before and then Penske came the next year. But you were immediately embraced, even by the fans of the Indy Racing League at the time. Were you surprised by how much they really, you know, embraced you and loved you right from the start?
I was, because certainly I didn't have the intention to break the protocol, climb the fence, or things like that. Plus, I didn't know much about the history. And I do believe people kind of understood that. You know, they didn't take an offensive. In fact, they realized after how appreciative. I've always been very appreciative for every win, but I realized winning that race, how many doors opened, you know. And I remember Bob Anser coming to me and say, "Welcome to the club." So things like that, I was like, man, this is a pretty good deal, you know. So, and I believe I was always being very spontaneous and obviously being very honest, you know. I show my emotions the way they are. Sometimes it's good. Most of the times they're good, and unfortunately sometimes they're bad. But and that probably, when things come from the heart, when emotions come from, you know, kind of spontaneous, it is, people realize that, and I guess that's why people from Indianapolis, which, you know, today, it's one of my favorite places. You know, I feel that I'm from India as well. So I really enjoyed, on the month of May to be around Indianapolis.
Well, Elio, after winning in your rookie year in 2001, you went back and won again in 2002 under different circumstances, of course, with Paul Tracy not being one of the people that we'll be talking to this month as an Indy 500 winner. We won't get his side of the story this time, but let's get your side of the story on how things played out and why it was that you deserved that win.
Well, certainly, you know, I heard a lot about the story, but it's been 30 years. And nobody ever do a back-to-back. Last time to do that was Alan Senior, and I was kind of like, but those things are different times. You can't compare the times, you know, different equipment and things like that. So I'm kind of like, you know, not putting much emphasis on that subject. And certainly we're working on the car. My engineer and I trying to make a similar situation, and I believe it was the first year that when they grooved the track, you know, they kind of like made some different stuff on the pavement, and certainly affected, you know, the setup that we had the year before, and we're not being very happy with it. In fact, I started 13th on the grid, and I said, man, it must be some lucky number, 13. You got to be a lucky number for me, you know. and unfortunately, the entire race, honestly, I was having issues with the with my idle of the engine. I was having issues with the way of the car was handling. I was having issue. I was about to get a letdown, I remember. In fact, I even warned the team that one of the cars blew an engine right in front of me. I'm like, listen, tell the Farron, because he was my teammate, turn three is going to be bad. It's oil, because I almost spun out. And unfortunately, another car ended up the leader, actually, at that time, that I was about to be a letdown, ended up crashing. So all these things were happening, but the one thing we never stopped believing was, we just need one chance. Just give me one chance, one opportunity. And certainly that happens. We took a chance on the pit stop to not stop anymore. Cindric knows me very well. He said, let's take a gamble. And I totally went for it. And, man, I just started saving fuel, because I remember I had two back markers behind me. And I let them by, kind of using them as a draft. And I was in total control of the race at that point. And certainly when they told me, okay, Trace is coming, he's the guy who's going to battle him. We got to go. And we knew that we need, like, a couple of laps of yellow. And hopefully we're going to get it. But if we don't get it, hey, we took a gamble. And one lap before the yellow happened, in fact, I was flat out. So, and Tracy was just back there. And what I was doing is, even when he was behind me in the next lap, I was kind of lifting a little bit, giving the outside, so I knew he could not pass me on the outside. And certainly, this is what happened. When he was on the outside or approaching to the outside, the yellow came on. And, in fact, we were using that system with the yellow lights on the steering wheel. And that came automatic. And when I saw the yellow light, I knew there was, you know, a yellow came. So I started lifting. And then the radio came, yellow, yellow, yellow. And I'm like, okay, Sterling, you got to lift, you know, and there's, I can see. And I would have done the same thing. If it's two laps to go on Indy 500. If better for the win, I would keep going. And if I'm in second place, obviously. So that's what Trace kept going. In fact, another car, I think, was Sam Horns at that time, a lap down. He kept going, another car. So people start passing. I'm like, what's going on? Isn't it a yellow flag? And they say, you're fine. Just make sure you complete the last lap, and you'll be fine. So as soon as I crossed this finish line, obviously I was celebrating. I can't believe it happened again. But and then I only realized the controversy happens when I went to the press conference. And I was very surprised, because I had no idea. Nobody told me. I have no clue that people were saying he passed you. Because, trust me, last two laps to go, passed me on the outside turn three. You can be the bravest driver. You can be the man, but I would have made that easy the way it was. So I was very upset at one point because I can't believe it was people were able to believe that, you know, one driver could be able to do that, you know, in that scenario. And especially the way the track was handled or the time of the race, nobody had new tires. I was like, no way, this is impossible to happen. So I'm glad that the result came out, obviously, the way it came out, because it wouldn't be justice to finish second or whatever other place, because I was leading the race at that point.
Well, Ellie, let's move on then from 2002 and kind of leave the controversy behind. We move on to 2003, and there's a lot of pressure on you this month. You know, is Elio going to be the first one to win his first three races, or, you know, three races in succession, period, let alone his first three? You're starting from the pole. You have a good run that race, and then you come up just short to your teammate and good friend, Gilles Deferrin. What was the emotion like of coming that close to getting your third so quickly?
Well, I have to say that just to prove that place, you can't predict anything. I had the fastest car, not only on the qualifying, but also on the race. I was doing exactly what I wanted to do. If I want to go fast, the car was acceptable. If I want to just be two cars away from the wall, the car was accepting. And if I want to push it, the car was accepting. So everything was incredible. And unfortunately, on the turn two, we had an incident with the back marker, so I have to slow down pretty fast. And that caused me to slow down, to actually downshift to third gear from sixth to third. So with that, I lost complete momentum, a five-second lead, completely went to, like, minus 2 or 3 seconds, which just showed that it was difficult, you know. But if I got to lose for one race, certainly it would be for another teammate of mine, which was Gio at that time. And in the end of the day, as Roger always says, there is no team orders, you know. It would be great. It would be part of history. And but in the end of the day, it's about winning the race. And Roger, it's a competitive guy, you know. He was running Gilles' car, and they won. So for me, it was mixed feelings, but the good news is it was most of good feelings, because you know, even that I have a very good car, I can't complain. You know, I finished second at Indy 500. It was right there battling for the win, and I knew, if you gotta believe it, one day another opportunity would show up, which it did.
Well, Elio, it took you a little while to get your third win after that, although in relative terms, it really wasn't that long, I suppose, 2009. And, of course, there were a lot of personal issues going on in your life around that time as well. You were so clearly overcome with emotion in Victory Lane that year. Can you tell us a little bit of what was going through your mind at that time?
Yeah, no, it was meantime, from 2004 to 2008, let's put it this way, we have several things, which was different engines, you know. We're running a Toyota at the time. Honda came with a very, very competitive engine, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 was my first year that I did not complete, you know, the race. And 07 finished right at third, and then 08, fourth. So then I'm like, you gotta, obviously, 09, because of the whole thing that it, with the court in Miami, I not even knew if I would be racing, you know, I could not believe it. When I was rolling to the victory lane, I just could not believe it. It was a movie in my head passing by. I mean, who would have thought, you know, I'd not even make the first race of the season, and I'm here in the victory lane of Indy 500, so winning for the third time. So for me, it was extremely special. Extremely, extremely special, you know, having, I knew about, you know, a lot of things happening that time, and again, the way my family was, united, you know, so all these things was just so awesome. I just was thanking God for giving that opportunity, and to believe even more, you know, because I was asking many times, why am I have to go through this when I was in the court in Miami? And all of a sudden, I crossed the finish line. I understood that why. It was making me a better person. It made me stronger. And sometimes you just question, but you don't know why. And that day was a perfect day.
That's great to hear. That's very nice insight. Thank you. Elio, you've only driven for Roger Penske at Indianapolis, so perhaps we're asking you this question compared to when you look at the teams around you and how other people experience the month of May, but share what your experience has been working for the Penske operation at Indianapolis, because from the outside it certainly looks like it runs like clockwork and seamlessly, and the success would seem to speak to that.
Absolutely. 15 wins, you know, over the years, it shows definitely Roger really care about their race. Not that everybody doesn't, but he really made sure that the strategy, the best equipment, the best of what he can have is there. And I have to say it's great because it's a good combination. We're really serious about it, but we relax, you know, we're looking for small details, and that will make a difference. Details. Today we have equipment the same from the tire to the engine and chassis. So details are making difference, and that's why I'm very fortunate and honored to be driving for Roger over the years, and especially at Indy, and hopefully we'll continue many more.
Again, in relative terms, even though you're a three-time winner, your career at Indianapolis has been somewhat shorter than other people with equal levels of success. What is it about your driving style that just seems to work so well there?
Good question. I believe it's the track is very challenging, and it's not an oval that you just go flat out. You know, you gotta get a respect because certainly, you know, there was a lot into it. There was the wind, there was the condition, the weather. You know, and those things, and also the setup, and you know, so I'm glad that the track suits me, and but again, every time I go out there, I know it's going to be a challenge, and I believe with that, paying respect, I got respect back from the track, and it makes me I'm adapt to every time, to every car, engine, whatever I'm going. And I'm trying to adapt as well as possible so that when I go for 500 miles, I know I have the equipment in the car for any circumstances. And I believe that's why I believe the track, it suits me. So I enjoy the place. And when you enjoy it and have fun, things tend to go in a better way.
Elio, when you came back to the track last year, you came as a three-time winner. And there were a lot of people going into the race that were just ready to hand you the win and put you as a four-time winner. Unfortunately, you came up just short last year. But you're only 35 years old. You've still got, you know, several good years of driving ahead of you. And now every May when you come to the track, that pressure is going to be on for you to become a four-time winner. How do you deal with that pressure of the possibility of joining such an elite group?
Well, you know, I'm actually comfortable. Pressure, to be honest, it's what makes me go to the, you know, to the next level. And I do have a team to give me that opportunity, you know, to drive in that level. But I want to win. I know Roger want to win. So when we put both together, you know, it's a win-win situation. You wanna go for the best and try to do your best. So I don't worry about that. To be honest, I believe the records are made to be broken. Hopefully, we tie the record, you know. But you gotta work for it as well. And we have two other great guys in the team that are also very fast and good, which makes me better. So all these things, I don't feel the pressure, but I feel that I gotta go. I gotta keep pushing as hard as I can, if I wanna, and basically I say four times as hard if I want that trophy, and, I believe I can. So, with the people behind, you know, the associates and everyone behind, certainly we can make it happen.
Well, one of those other drivers that already has four wins is someone that you work very closely, and that's Rick Mears. What have you learned and gleaned from Rick over the years of working with him at Penske?
Oh, I'm still learning. That guy is incredible, not only as a driver, not only as a driver that he was, but as a person that he is. Yeah, certainly Rick is a guy that it's amazing. I mean, he's everything he says, you know, there is a way, and I'm always learning with him. And I'm very fortunate to have him as my my spotter during the Indy 500. And in fact, last year was the first year we have the full season, and he was my spotter. So sometimes I do ask him a question, what do I do? What do I do? Yeah. And certainly he is the right person to ask those questions, especially at Indy. So, but I'm glad. I'm still learning with him to be a normal person, humble, to also find that fine edge, and again, it's just great to be in this team, having him around, because certainly helped not only myself but the entire crew and special daily drivers as well.
Well, Elia, you started to allude to this in one of your earlier responses, but this is a question that we wanted to ask you, and it's kind of a challenging one, so we'll apologize in advance for that. But given the era in which some of your wins came, there are people who will claim that your three wins are in some way less valid than the other three-time winners in Indy's history, just because from some perception they may have been less challenging. What's your response to people who have that stance about your success at Indy?
I wish. I really wish you would be it would be less challenging, you know, to win those races, especially at Indy. But you got to remember, I think every era is a different timing. You know, there is different competitors, different equipment. If you're talking about in the past, you have, like, you know, drivers with whatever, 1,000 horsepower. You know, whoever has the best car or whoever has the best engine, let's put this way, or the best package, end up having the success of that season. So certainly, you know, 10 years, if you're talking about 10 years and you're able to succeed in those 10 years through different, even if the equipment was similar, you still, you know, different times, different drivers, different competitors. And when you put all these things together, it doesn't mean that it's less difficult or more difficult. I was thinking about the same way when Al Unser Sr. did the 30 years from that time when he won back-to-back, and I'm like, ah, come on, that's different times. You know, he won in a show car. I mean, who today put a show car to race and win in the Indy 500, you know?
Yeah.
But you got to remember, it's different times, different eras. So I don't blame them to say, obviously, I don't agree, because it's very difficult to win anything in any professional sport, whether it's racing, tennis, soccer, football. It's very difficult. So we just gotta keep working in our equipment and working together with the team, and hopefully can get more.
That's a perfectly fair response. Thank you.
You're welcome.
In a more general topic, you are the next in a long line over the last 20 years of Brazilians who's tried your hand at Indianapolis. What is it over the past 20 years or so that has been so captivating about Indy to Brazilian drivers? Why have we seen so many of them giving it a try and having success at Indianapolis?
Well, I guess Brazilians love racing, love cars, first of all, and with that, they love racing. And they're really particular, you know, in that aspect. They want to succeed when you leave your country, to speak another language, to learn the culture, different culture. And obviously, when you have the bad results, you, on your own, you got to just wake up the next day and without anybody, you got to keep moving forward, you know. And in a fair, answer, I would say that probably makes you a little bit more stronger, you know, for those that end up leaving friends and family to pursue your goals and your dreams. And I believe when you get out of your comfort zone, you know, you got to find ways to become, you know, adapt to that type of scenario. Like Dancing with the Stars, for example. Who would have thought I would be able to get out of my comfort zone, and all of a sudden I was like dancing like Fred Astaire, you know? I'm like, wow, look at it. So it's one of those things that I believe it helps, and probably it gives you the extra edge that you need for success in a better way.
Well, Elio, you've obviously had a lot of success at Indianapolis. Would you be able to, if I ask you, to pick a single favorite memory of racing at Indianapolis? And then on the flip side of that coin, do you still have any that you just still haunt you and keep you up at night?
Well, that memory was my crash. I could not believe it. I was passing Buddy Rice in turn four. I was really struggling, but finally was making a little bit better way on the racetrack, and I can't believe he just turned into it. I'm like, come on, man. I had a good momentum. You shouldn't do that, but that the way it is. And that still haunt me in that way. Well, and also, obviously, the 2003, that a 20 laps to go, you end up passing me, that I couldn't pass him anymore. But anyway, the good ones, I have to say that the pole position, it was awesome in 2007. It was a really amazing, really amazing to just capture that pole position, the conditions that they were. I'm sorry, not 07, 03. And it was a very difficult wind. It was incredible. So I do remember that vividly, and especially when Rick Mears come to you and say, wow, that was impressive. I said, that's it. My day is over. You know, I can go home. I can retire, sleep. That Rick Mears just said, that was impressive. So when those things happen, you can't forget. And obviously the winds, it's always very special. So I have a good, bad, but mostly good. And that I'll hopefully continue making more good ones in the next few years.
Well, Elio, there's been so few drivers that have been able to call themselves Indianapolis 500 champions, and you know, there's only 67 of those drivers, and of those, only 9 have been able to say that they've won it 3 or 4 times. What does it mean to you, as we're here in 2011, what does it mean to you to be able to call yourself an Indianapolis 500 winner?
Oh, my goodness, that's going to go, it means to me everything in my career as a driver, because everywhere I go, and I remember, I think it was Al Unser Jr. saying, everywhere you go, you're going to be introduced as the 2-time winner or as the 3-time winner. But for the first time, I remember they saying, you're always going to be remembered that. And it's true. And for me, it means everything in the world. That's what makes me wake up every day and go drive, because when you have a goal to achieve those goals and succeed, when you do that, you create new goals. And that's what makes me wake up every time in the morning. So, I'm going to continue, you know, my path. Hopefully, it will be very, you'll be in a good way, in a good path, and we can continue smiling after every race.
Well, and I'm sure that you would like nothing better than to make your 4th win the centennial running of the Indianapolis 500. So we wish you all the best this year and best of luck. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today. We really greatly appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you in May.
Thank you so much. I hope to see you guys over there.
And thanks to all of you for continuing to join us as well in our Centennial Interview Series. Next up, we interview the 4-time winners of the Indianapolis 500, so please stay tuned to us for that. And remember that morefrontwing.com is your source online for blogs, photos, podcasts, and more covering the IZOD IndyCar Series and beyond.